friends in an alternate future. Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of intestinal invaders and besmirched besties in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries, and I'll confess to being a little bit of a stinker. You see, we recorded an episode that was so long, I decided to break it into two parts, and last week was part one. So this is the second half, and we're just going to dive straight back into the story with Susan, Adam, and CEJ working to free Crashly from the Monster Vines, while Shamanda is elsewhere in the Black Site with less than 15 minutes before she merges with the Bondelgrab bud in her stomach. Yeesh.
Now, is there anything wrong with us just leaving at this point?
No, there's never anything wrong with you leaving.
I think we leave this area.
Could you help me get out?
Oh my god! Sorry, and I did. I thought Crashly was out.
Crashly, go ahead and roll plus tough.
Okay.
And as this happening, let's say hopefully a text message has been sent out.
I rolled a three.
See. 1 second. I want to check in something first before then.
Three.
Okay, yeah, Crashly, you're going to take one harm as it starts to constrict around you.
Okay.
And you can no longer breathe or move.
I'm bloody too.
Okay, I'm going to start hacking with the knife again.
Great, yeah, at this point, so we know how it works. Yeah, go ahead and roll plus tough.
Oh my god, seven.
Also, obviously at this point, Crashly's hand has left your flamethrower, so the tank has released all of its fuel.
Oh yeah.
And your flamethrower does not work.
I lied. It's not a seven. It's a six.
You rolled a six on your kick some ass.
Yes, I did.
You get your ass kicked instead. You suffer harm or get captured, but don't inflict any harm back.
Is anyone going to help me?
I kind of want to roll a luck.
Can I help?
Jeff can help first.
You can.
So I'm on the ground, but I'm like, I do my same strategy, start just tapping on the plant from a different area.
Oh, wait, Jeff shouldn't help. Oh, God.
Yeah, Jeff's dying. You
know. Well, Jeff helps us at a 10. No, Adam Miller is very good at helping. So
Okay.
Yeah, I got the power of heart. Remember? Okay.
That doesn't recoil on him or anything crazy?
It's a 10.
No, it just automatically works as a 10.
I'm tickling the plant from
the
ground.
Yeah, you tickle it. And it is, you know what it is? Have you ever thought about like being a plant and you're a mobile plant? You don't have eyes. You feel heat and you feel light, but you can't see. Your senses are very weird. You discover yourself able to move. That is new because you're some weird, you know, science monstrosity thing. And then for the first time in your existence, you get tickled. And just think about like what that must be like to be a plant getting tickled for the first time. That the vine is having that sort of existential moment, and it's just enough, Susan, that you get to roll with advantage, so you get to re-roll one of your dice.
Ooh. Okay.
Let's go.
Ooh. Oh my god, it's the exact same thing.
No!
I'm going to burn a luck.
Okay.
I'm blowing a raspberry, too.
Susan Wexler is burning a luck. Okay, great. Susan, oh, I love this. Okay, so you're going to burn a luck, so you're going to make this a full 10. Do you want to do extra harm to it, suffer less harm, take something from it? It probably takes something because you want to take
something. Yeah, take Crashly.
You cut, slash, hack, and pull Crashly in the body of Chadriel out of this. And as you're doing that, Susan, so the luck cost, you discover something happening now is related to something you were involved in years ago.
What isn't?
I know. Susan, as you're doing this, you think back to early days, there was somebody else. It was more of the botany end of Lamau. There was somebody when you first came into Lamau. This was still in the initial attempts to bring the Bondelgrab under control, the horrible spread of that. There was another person that worked in Lamau who, again, kind of a botanist. What was their name?
Yeah, it was Cheryl MacGyver.
Oh yeah,
and Cheryl McGiver.
Great, Cheryl McGiver. And Cheryl McGiver hypothesized that since the Bondelgrab merges with any animal that either eats it or is eaten by it, right? And she was like, the solution then is obviously plant, and had these cockamamie ideas about creating something that would seek out the sort of innate qualities of the Bandelgrab and be able to fight back against it that way. And as you're seeing sort of the mystical equivalent of kudzu in front of you, that is intended towards an effect, but has gone to seed, an experiment gone wrong. That is what you're seeing in front of you. Whether it would work or not is difficult to say, as it appears that this is one experiment that has not been means tested fully. But you realize that you've seen this before, or seen the research around this, or the theories around this. And with that, you pull Crashly free. You have Adam and CEJ there, and you are all able to pull back. Are you doing anything before you leave?
I guess I'll just say, like, this isn't over, Cheryl. I don't know if she can hear me, kids. I'll explain later.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Shh.
Yeah, and I think the plant kind of wiggles and rattles, and you hear the leaves again in their susurration, rubbing over each other, and it almost sounds like a yell.
Hmm. Oh, Cheryl's in there.
Oh God.
As you are then, Susan, pulling Crashly, CEJ, and Adam, somehow the three of them pulling them back out of the room.
I mean, I can just crawl. No one's coming for me.
So as you're pulling Crashly and CEJ out, and Adam is crawling next to you, your phone buzzes. You've received a text message.
Okay, I hear the buzz. I'm like, someone's a little early. And I check it. I'm like, oh, it's Shamanda. And what does it say?
Yeah, Shamanda, what is your text?
It says, Susan, I believe I have been grobbed and I am really scared. Should I throw up? Help.
And Shamanda, you have 10 minutes left.
I'm going to text back first. Where are you?
And then I tweet my location.
I don't think that exists.
Okay. Well, obviously this facility.
I mean, if you can explain to me how you know where you are.
As I was running, I noticed that at every juncture, there's like a map, like you're in a mall. Hmm. And I go and take a picture of that map and I text it to Susan.
Does it have a "you are here" arrow?
Exactly.
Nice.
But it's like little barbs, like a cartoon barb, like "you are here. You're exactly where you should be, hun."
Yeah. And I guess I will allow that because you did get an iPhone from the devil. So,
yeah.
Or is that an iPod?
It could be a hold. It could be one of the holds.
Oh, you know what? You're so right. And I reach into I reach into my jean jacket of excellence and I pull out a GPS device.
Hmm.
And then I relay my coordinates to Susan.
Okay, great. Yeah. So you give your latitude and longitude to Susan. Susan, I don't know how useful, like, if Susan can use GPS coordinates in some way, you're welcome to.
So I, of course, have a map, just a good old-fashioned map of Barora. With that,
do.
I don't know longitude and latitude well enough to know. Does that help with that?
I mean, that makes sense to me. It wouldn't surprise me if Susan's map includes latitude and longitude coordinates.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're saying you have a printed map of it, that makes sense. So, sure.
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to tell the kids.
The main issue is, I imagine there's a little bit more texting back and forth. You know you have about 10 minutes. Susan, your map of Barora is accurate. I was looking at the namesake for Barora, Nebraska. So, I actually can tell you, let's see, because you guys were at the cellar.
Yep. So, we're near the square.
You're near the square, I would say, and the cellar is about 4.5 blocks away from the Alice M. Farr Library.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you are currently probably around the Village Square Shopping Mall. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so that is how far away you are from where Barb is. And I would say that you are probably about, well, let's see here, with the direction that Shamanda ran. I just have to see something.
Shamanda Ran will be the name of the new character I create after I die.
You're not going to die. You're probably not going to die.
Oh, okay. Shamanda seems to have run to the Bremer Community Center, seems to be the recreation center since she...
And I hate to be this person, but it is Bremer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you. To the Bremer. So she is about 1, 2, 3 blocks away from you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is this has all been replaced by like a black site. Like all of the buildings have been raised, replaced by others with this labyrinth of stuff. So you need to get about 3 blocks through twisting hallways and everything else. It's not necessarily a straight shot. So you do know where to go. You don't necessarily know what's in between.
Okay. I am going to share the map with Crashly.
Mm-hmm.
And say, in case I don't get there in time, start running. And I am going to try to sprout my wings.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Great. Oh, okay. So, Susan, go ahead and do use magic.
I got a 9. Oh, sorry, 10.
Okay, great. Yeah. So you choose your effect, which is, in this instance, one thing beyond human limitations. You sprout your big parrot wings, and Susan takes to the air.
And I am taking, if it's possible, because I think we have said canonically that I can lift someone, I am going to take Adam just so we don't split the group too bad.
Okay, great. So you pick Adam up. Adam, it looks terrible. Like, Adam truly looks like he is about to die.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just remind, in case that changes anything.
Hi, Susan.
No, I really want him with me.
Hey, do you have a Sprite?
And I'll point out, Adam is also unstable, which means I can introduce extra harm to Adam anytime I want. So I will say, unless somebody does something for Adam, he's probably going to die in your arms in the course of the flight. Like, he's in that bad state.
I could heal if I can use magic again. Does anyone else have another option?
Wait, do we have our first aid kits too?
Yeah, we do have those. I can
you do
use
have
mine.
Your first aid kit.
I'm going to use my first aid kit.
Okay.
Okay, and so roll a D6 on 2 to 5, heal 1 harm. On 1, it has run out of supplies and doesn't work until you refill it. What happens if I roll a 6?
Oh, yeah, that's silly. On a 2 to 6, it heals 1 harm.
Okay. Mm. It's a 2.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah. So Adam,
I don't know. That was close. That was stupid.
Yeah, Adam manages to heal 1 harm. You are still unstable, so kind of the same thing still applies. I can just do damage to you as or when I feel like. So
can I heal him too?
Yeah, you can absolutely can. So Susan, I guess the question is, Susan, are you waiting for him or?
Yeah, I'm going to keep Crashly and Adam together, and I'm going to actually pivot and take Shamanda.
Take CEJ.
Oh, CEJ. So I am so sorry.
He can walk, right?
No, okay. I'm taking CEJ with me.
I'd rather not.
All right, I'm just going.
I would like to be carried.
Okay, I'm going to take CEJ. I'm taking
great.
CEJ.
I hop over Susan's shoulder for a fireman carry.
All right, and away we go.
Okay, great. So Susan, it sounds like, if I'm understanding this correctly, Susan, you're going to basically try to like get to an exterior door so that you can do sort of, excuse the expression, as the crow flies through the air too.
Mm.
Or are you trying to just fly down hallways?
I'm like trying to fly if I can crow the first thing you said.
Sure.
I
think that makes sense to me. You either go up or down, and as you go up eventually.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. So I think it takes like a minute, and then you find like an exterior and you're able to fly. So, Susan, you are hitting parts unknown. Go ahead and roll plus sharp.
That is a 9.
Mm. Okay. On a 9, you are going to encounter a danger, but you do get a point. Remember, points can be spent for to make a discovery or to find Barb once you get enough. What are the 2 numbers that you rolled?
A 3 and a 4.
3 and a 4. Okay, great. So as you lift CEJ up and begin to fly, Crashly, you have Adam there on the ground. How are you assisting him?
Hi.
What's wrong exactly? Like, you're bleeding?
I got acid all over me from the plant.
Yeah, I'm going to not use magic, but I'm just going to rub some salve. And I rolled a 5. So I'm rubbing salve all over.
Okay, yeah, so you also heal 1 harm for Adam.
Yes. I do. Yeah.
I'm only Grievous.
Oh, damn it. Gina got out of the room. Sorry. She walked out of the room.
No, go take care of it. No problem.
I'm so sorry. Oh, she's running the doorbell.
I'll get it. 1 second.
Okay, thanks.
Can I do surgery on myself again?
Oh, good idea. Tyler's
Oh, that's right. Gone. Tyler's the one that left.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yeah, and Tyler can deal with it later, right?
I feel like Shamanda's just spinning around in an office chair like, I hope I don't die.
Rashawn, how are you feeling about a reroll if necessary?
It would be all right.
Okay. I mean, just taking a temperature check because I'm getting worried. No, yeah.
It's sad, but yeah, I don't know. Switch it up and play someone else.
I mean, the beauty of it, though, is you wouldn't die. You just become part of the greater whole that is the Bondal Rob.
Oh, God.
Tyler's back.
It's a Shamanda Bob. It's the best of all possible worlds. Anyway.
Rashawn, you'd be your own boss. You set your own hours. You just have to pay for all the merchandise up front.
It's an MLM.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. So you've healed 2 harm for Adam. So he's still unstable, but there is a little bit of wiggle room there. Are you two going to stay and try to continue to heal?
Yeah, I was wondering. I could also... I mean, I know I did it last time. I could try to do surgery on myself again.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Jeff's okay. Acting like it's getting old that he does surgery on himself.
This whole thing. I mean, it's kind of boring, but I... Okay, 1 second. Hold this. I got to cut my stomach open. Okay, I'm burning a luck.
Wow.
It was a 3.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yikes.
Hey, I can't roll.
I'm going to buy you new dice.
Can someone help?
I mean, it's gone. A 1 and a 2. Like, it would get much better.
Yeah, but if you reroll to like a 5 on the 1.
Yeah, you have a 2 and.
Yeah, at least chance. I go to say, let someone try to help before you burn the luck.
Okay, do you want to try to help me, Chris?
I'll help you.
Yeah.
Oh, Shamanda. No, Shamanda, you're not there.
I want to help.
Come on.
I want to help.
Okay, try to help.
Okay. I'm going to roll to help.
And
how are you helping? What are you doing?
Yeah, how are you helping and what are you doing?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Uh-oh. I got a 1.
Oh. Oh, my
God. You expose yourself to trouble.
That's not
or
a heal, though. Oh, no, I got a 4. Is that better?
No.
Burn that luck.
So,
is there a 2d6 or just 1?
I got 2d6 and I got a 4. I do have 2 luck, so I can burn another one.
Burn a luck. I was going to burn a luck.
Jeff, don't you have holds? Don't you have holds, Jeff?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
With what could go wrong, right?
Yeah, so you can...
So it sounds like they need me.
Yeah.
I can upgrade to a mixed success.
Yeah, you can. Now, the thing is, Crashly has already attempted to help out and failed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would suggest probably use that hold or roll luck, Jeff, either way.
I also just realized, does Susan have my knife still?
Yeah, absolutely, she does.
I don't know how to do this.
The issue is, as you two are doing this and working, Crashly, you are focused on Adam. You are trying to help him. Adam, are you burning luck or are you using your hold?
I'm gonna use the hold.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah.
Okay. So now then that bumps your DIY surgery to a partial success. Yeah. So you get 1 heal. Plus, you either stabilize and have disadvantage, you heal an extra 1 and stabilize now, but it will return as a worse injury later, or you heal 1 and stabilize, but take disadvantage until you get proper medical attention.
I'll do the first one, stabilize, and take a disadvantage on the next roll.
Great. So you get...
I go up 1.
Yep. So you go to 4 harm, and you are no longer unstable.
Oh, nice. That's right.
And Crashly, you have the horrible realization that the vines are circling around the 2 of you. As we cut over to Dragline.
I was just going to ask if we could.
Dragline, I'm curious. You made your way through. Obviously, this has been a lot easier for you to find your way through because you've been in direct contact with Barb. And Barb has just sort of opened the gates and led you straight through. You find yourself in the Alice M. Farr Library. It looks exactly like a small town library does on the inside, like nothing changed, very different than the rest of this black site where everything else is very industrial, very focused on sort of a mercenarial vibe to it. This is just a little podunk library. It looks like somebody would probably love it, and the person that you are standing in front of clearly fucking hates it, but somehow seems to thrive on that hate as you are standing right in front of Barb. Now, here's one thing I want to establish. We haven't yet established why Barb would be interested in bringing on Dragline. Obviously, Dragline's a wonderful addition to any team, but Barb specifically seeking out the assistance of a 12-year-old girl is, you know, not necessarily Barb's speed. This is what I think happened. And Claire, you know, feel free to fill in if you have an idea for something else. But it makes sense to me that one thing that Dragline's a quiet kid. She's smart. She's observant. That one thing that a hobby that Dragline might have is a little bit of cryptography.
Mm.
And I suspect that Dragline successfully broke Susan's cipher. Susan obviously writes her spell book in code so that she's the only one who can read it. And I suspect that Dragline, I'm sort of imagining that Dragline probably has the equivalent of like Batman's files on all of the other superheroes, that Dragline knows the strengths and weaknesses of every member of the Monster Hunters Club, she's prepared in case they ever cross Shamanda. And
hell yeah.
Those black folders were confident.
And included in that is the cipher to break the code on Susan's spellbook. Does that work for you?
Yes. So I'll tell you what I was thinking and see if you want to do a hybrid, or I can just go full that route. Is I thought she probably wanted actually to get like the Shamanda villain arc. Like she wanted Shamanda on her team.
So you think Barb is bringing on...
Using Dragline to get...
Dragline to get to Shamanda.
Get Shamanda like on the team.
I think both of these things are definitely at play.
That's what I thought. Maybe they live in the same world. Yeah.
Barb sees no reason not to pursue multiple advantages at the same time.
Amen.
As Barb is there. And Dragline, I guess I'm curious what you say. The most disturbing part of what you're seeing in front of you is you're looking at Barb, who is hunched over a book and like kind of managing over like an old laptop, trying to gather resources and stuff while there's this countdown happening and she's pulling to files together and stuff. Barb is dressed exactly like Susan Wexler.
Yeah.
With like a low pony sort of matted into her hair. It's not a great job. Like it's not a one-to-one. It looks pretty rough.
It's a little Halloween costume.
Yeah. It looks like a Halloween costume of Susan Wexler. What do you say, Dragline?
Hello, Miss Wexler. Thanks again for having me. News on the walkie-talkies is everyone's kind of dying right now, and I wanted to know what the big plan was there.
And Barb says, let's see, I'm a little daunted having to play Barb Wexler.
You're doing great.
I haven't done it yet.
I know, but I know you're going to be doing great.
She says, yeah, okay, kiddo. Well, that's kind of the point, all right? They're all supposed to die so that we can get on out of here, all right? And keep it distracted.
Oh, yeah. I guess maybe you hadn't mentioned that part earlier. And it just kind of, I mean, no offense, feels like something you would mention.
Oh, I'm sorry. I needed to mention it to somebody who locked her former best friend in a control center with some idiot kid. I thought you knew what you were getting into, Dragline. Do I need to be disappointed right now?
Oh, no, I can't. I physically couldn't handle that.
Okay, because I brought you on because you're smarter than all the rest of them, okay? You're more talented. You're better than them.
All right, well, then I'm just going to keep going with the plan.
And I'm going to kind of try to back out of the room.
I think, Barb, I mean, how subtly do you attempt to back out of the room?
I mean, as subtle as any 12-year-old can do anything.
Yeah, I think you're right at the cusp that age. So I think this is going to be a roll. This is an act under pressure. So roll plus cool.
Okay, it's a natural 7, and I don't remember Dragline's stats. So one moment. Damn, I thought Dragline was going to go full villain, but I don't know that she would with this. You know what I mean?
Tough.
Yeah, so it's just a 7.
Just a 7. Okay, so I give you a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay. Yeah, you are able to sort of back up. The door is there, and you're able to sort of nudge it open just a hair, just a little bit. The door closest to you, obviously. This isn't the door that you came in, but this is the door most immediately available to you. Barb is going back. Barb looks incredibly harried. And, okay, as you do, you nudge the door. It opens, and Tori Powles falls forward as she was leaning on it. And you see there's like the long hallway. You can totally book for it. But Tori Powles like stumbles forward. God damn it. And Barb turns and goes, well, what do we have here? Oh, and then in this moment, I guess, Dragline, are you running or are you staying?
I know this is wrong, but Dragline doesn't care that much about Tori.
Okay.
Right? Like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think she's using this distraction and making a run for it.
Great.
Yeah.
Dragline runs.
And the Bremer Center is famously across the street from the Allison Farr Library.
It truly is. I know.
Famously.
So you have been tracking. I mean, presumably you always know where Shamanda is.
Oh, every second of her life.
Okay. So you're running to Shamanda.
Mm-hmm.
Shamanda, we're cut over to you. Shamanda, you are still in this room. Your phone is charged up. This is a room full of monster containment things. I think, you know, down the hall is a door that got kicked open. It looks like it goes to a cafeteria area. This area, you can see the faint fingernails of what you presume is a nephew gouged into the cement. And you are here. There's, you know, all of the things necessary to hold a monster in place. What are you doing in this moment?
Well, Shamanda's still feeling embarrassed from her earlier interactions and is kind of in a daze of like, well, maybe this is what I deserve. I've acted like a monster and slowly becoming one, and I might as well be restrained like a monster. So knowing that she can't reach the like the restraints or whatever, I presume it's like the what's that figure of David where it's like the ring and the, you know, your hands are up, and I kind of just like see what it would feel like to be restrained and see if that makes any difference on my opinion of myself.
Yeah, wait, so you sort of just Christ just yourself?
Like, no, just stand up there. I mean, I'm obviously like too small and dainty to fully be restrained like a big old monster, but I'm kind of like imagining what it would be like to be a monster.
Roll to act under pressure.
Oh, Lord.
8 - 1 = 7.
It's okay.
Let's see. You're not crushed under it or anything, but it appears to be sort of a motion sensor thing, and it comes down and grabs you. So you are held in place.
Fuck.
But so you successfully get to see what it feels like as it grabs you, and you are sort of straitjacketed by machinery, and you have about 9 minutes left.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Shiitake mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. I guess Shamanda loosens up one of her loosens up one of her shoes and just tries to like kick toss it to hit a button to release her.
Okay. I think that's going to be another act under pressure.
I rolled a 7, which would be -1, so I'm going to burn a luck.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, so you do what you set out to.
Well. Yeah.
You hit that button, you release yourself. I think it takes probably about a minute to do it, but you manage to free yourself. You're sitting there in this room. You've got about 8 minutes left. Shamanda, you can feel this something in your guts moving. You can see, I think this is absolutely a thing where you can see the small bump moving under your skin. In your abdomen.
Wait. So I know enough about a Bandelgrob to like, but I know it like it can't resist like Wexler's voice. So I guess in my best Wexler impression, trying to coax it up out of my esophagus.
Okay.
Hmm.
Let's see here then. For that, I think you would need to, I think that's going to be a thing where you're going to have to try to manipulate someone Normally that doesn't apply to monsters, but for this, that kind of makes sense to me. So yeah, roll plus charm. Let's see how good of a Wexler impression you do.
Oh. I rolled a double one.
Okay, but we do want to hear it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Kids, you know, you want to get out of my stomach because it's really not a place you want to be. There's just so many other places you could visit.
Okay, but Claire, let Rashawn do it.
Well.
I think Dragline's going to walk in during that.
Well, hang on. But before that happens, Dragline, as you're walking in, Shamanda, you do this laugh. Ooh. You feel it come out of your own throat.
Ew. Who's there?
Oh. Well. Another failed audition.
Snap.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
No.
Better roll up. Time to roll up a new fucking character, Rashawn. You're killed. Damn. Burned.
Wow.
Oh my God, I'm sweating.
No, it's so good. I'm gooped and gagged.
Holy
what
shit.
The hell?
I mean, does that burn kill the Bondle Bob?
Yeah.
The Rashondel Grob?
Mm-hmm. The Shondel Grob.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Shamanda Grob.
Shamanda.
Going to be like, you know, you're the most emotionally intelligent person I've ever met, Shamanda. And yet, the only thing I've ever seen you use that for is to manipulate people.
Wow.
And this is where it got you.
Well, I guess it's just me and Mrs. Jones, huh? Yeah. I knew your name the whole time.
But.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah.
I know.
Why'd you torture her?
You know what? I don't know. Wait. Again, when we break it all down.
Aren't you just confirming the thing she just said about you?
And you know what? Think whatever you want. Because if you come after me or my family or my friends or the way that I treat others, you know, you have to deal with me and my family because we are thick as thieves. She just goes into the crazy.
Housewives mode.
Yes,
housewives of Bondle Grob.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm changing. Oh what can God. I say? I'm becoming a Bondle Grob. Oh my God. Oh, I'm Bondle. Really blown about what you just said. Like, that bird is so good. I really can't think about what Shamanda would do. I think she's fully in shock.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez.
You know, I could help. That's kind of the sad part, but how do I know you just wouldn't turn on me again?
Well, you're obviously not that good of a person because you would have just done it out of the goodness of your heart, not just because you needed something from it. Yeah, we're there. Chaos mode.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Because I came into the scene with very different intentions, but it's like...
It's as soon as you see each other and the pheromones go off, and you're like,
yes,
she must die. They must die.
I walked in like, oh, I can roll something and help out. And I'm like, well, why the
But
hell
why would you?
Yeah. But why would you?
What do you do, Draglin, in this moment?
I think I'm just...
If I've trained you to do anything, Draglin, it's to think for yourself. Whatever decision you make, you got to stand up with it.
I don't think I'm going to be standing as much as I will be walking. Wow. And I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to take off your cast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so Dragline and her crutches walks out. Claire, you tell us, is Shamanda ever going to see Dragline again?
I can't answer that because I think Dragline thinks this is the end.
Okay. Mm. So as far as Dragline is concerned, she is exiting stage left.
Thank you so much for putting in terms that Dragline would understand, which are theater terms.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Shamanda, I think this exchange is at least another couple minutes. I think you've got like 5 minutes left, four,
damn.
Probably like 4 minutes left as you watch... somebody walk in and you just push her away and she just walks away.
I mean, Shamanda, yeah. with this last 5 minutes, I don't know, is there someone you like love that you want to like maybe make out with for a little while?
Maybe the bottle will go into CEJ.
Oh, yeah. They might merge. They might all merge.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're with Wexler, right? So mm-hmm.
I'm over Wexler's shoulders.
Yeah. And so, Susan, you're over. You had rolled encountering a danger, and you specifically, what you ended up with was you pass over. There's a little area on one of the roofs of one of the buildings between the Village Square Mall and the Bramer Community yeah. Center. We'll call it the Higby McQuiston Mortuary on their old roof.
Yeah.
You see there's like a big pool of presumably rainwater there. And as you're flying over, you see sunning on it what you identify as kappas, a traditional Japanese monster. They are green human-like beings with webbed hands and feet and a turtle-like carapace on their back with a small dish-like depression on their head holding water. Yeah. And you see some of them sitting there sunning. And as they spot you, they start moving and are following underneath you. So that is you see like four or five of them just all getting into motion and going rooftop to rooftop, running underneath you with CEJ over your shoulders. And you see Dragline exit a building that you know to be the community center and start walking down L Street. What do you do?
Okay. As I'm flying and holding CEJ, well, actually, wait. Instead of maybe pulling I don't have my flamethrower. So could I roll... while I'm flying, roll lore library to see anything I know about Kappa and like their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And that's plus sharp, right?
It is.
Oh, damn. That is a 13 then.
A 13.
Tell me everything you know about Kappa.
Everything you fucking ever wanted to know. Okay, so the way we made lore library on a 10 plus, I will tell you something interesting and useful about the subject that is relevant to the current situation or ask you to make something up. In this case, I will not ask you to make it up. I will tell
you.
One thing you know, that dish on their head, it retains water. They keep a little bit of water in the depression on their head. And you know that if it loses water, either through spilling or drying up, that they become severely weakened. This is unrelated, but you also know they are often accused of assaulting humans in water and removing a mythical organ called the Shirokodama from their victim's anus.
That is
less immediately
I
relevant.
I have a Shirokodama. Don't tell me it's mythical.
Yeah. I mean, I'll Google it later. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't really have.
Hey, maybe if you don't know what it is, maybe you do have one.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
I've never seen one back up away from a choice so quickly.
So,
not since Mashley.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a mythical ball said to contain a person's soul located inside the anus. So, yeah, you know that they do that. But most immediately, you know the dish on their head, if they lose the water in there, they lose a lot of their strength.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess as I'm flying then, I mean, listen, this is such a jerk move, but I'm going to fly low and try to knock them off balance with my toesies, obviously.
Okay, yeah, feet. I guess roll to kick some ass then.
Yeah, and I'll to see EJ just go, start kicking, buddy. And I got a 10.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so you guys are going to inflict harm on each other. I think one of them reaches up and sort of scrapes at you with its long claws. You're going to take one harm from it.
Nowhere even near my butthole.
Nowhere close. And what are you doing? Extra harm, take something from them, force them where you want them, or take less harm yourself?
I am going to force something from them, and it's the water on their heads.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll say on like a handful, or not a handful, there's a handful total. Unlike three of them, you manage to like clip their heads and it tips and the water pours out. And it's much like watching somebody who has an inner ear issue. They just immediately sort of get vertiginous. They start stumbling. They look sick. It's not good. The other two that you didn't clip are continuing to move forward. CEJ, are you kicking? I know you were in a fireman hold. on around Susan's shoulders.
Would that do anything?
Kicking?
What's the AJ to help?
Kicking help or hurt?
CJ?
I mean, that's
good point.
It's up to you to determine.
I mean, I'm kicking. Know what? I'm kicking.
Great. CJ will kick some ass.
Oh, that's gonna be my ringtone.
But also, because I'm over Susan's shoulder, I'm just kind of kicking blind and like lashing out.
Absolutely. And I'm not.
I got an 11.
Wow.
Of course. We are not even going to have to encounter these stupid things.
Yeah, I think the same thing happens. You manage to kick. CEJ kicks so hard, he kind of swings around Susan's shoulder, and it becomes a very flashy sort of like kung fu
move.
It's
like a helicopter move around. Basically, I'm being used as like a quarter staff by Susan.
Yeah, pretty much. And you knock the other two, and they're just... and feel the water pour out of their heads, and then they're just sort of like...
Yeah, and as I was spinning around, I'm like, yeah, eat shit. Oh no.
It's okay.
And one of them, the vomit lands in its depression on its head, and it just looks so grossed out as it gets its footing back, but now has just a puke bowl on its head, and it starts throwing up, and then that causes the other ones to start throwing up, and they're all just throwing up.
And then I throw up from the throwing up, but in between wretches, I it's a safe face. I say, I knew this would happen. This was intentional.
Okay.
Great. That's Susan, as you are flying forward, you see the building, the community center there. You know, time is of the essence.
Precious.
You've got maybe 3 minutes at this point.
Maybe.
I am going to swoop into the Bremer Center, bang open the front doors and just start calling. Bondi, come here, baby. Come. Oh, not you. I'm sorry, my dog. Oh, no. Bondi, come here, baby. Come here. Good job.
And you're calling for...
the Bondelgrob specifically to jump out. Because didn't that work before?
Shamanda.
Didn't that work?
No, I don't know.
I thought I got it to jump out of the chicken thing. I might be very wrong here.
Last time, when surgery. You guys encountered it with... Yeah, when Dragline accidentally ate it. You cut
surgery.
Her open.
Okay, good. So I guess I'm going to keep calling just to get Shamanda to me, basically. Mm-hmm. But I'm pulling out my blessed knife.
Shamanda appears at staggering, walking forward. She looks punchy. She does not appear to be herself fully as it's coming down. Shamanda, you feel the Bondelgrob infecting deep inside of you. It is seeding in. You feel like cells, even on like a cellular level, like this pressure as something is like pounding on the doors of your selfhood and demanding to be let in. What are you saying as you kind of stumble out into the hallway?
Shamanda goes, I could have just gone to class. I didn't have to join this club. I could have just joined the cheerleading squad or something. Oh, gosh. Oh. And then just falls into your arms.
This is going to hurt, bud. This is going to hurt. And I pull out the knife and I start surgery.
Mm. Okay. And that's where we'll end our episode for today.
Oh my God.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a shout out on social media at Mystery County. We love to engage. You can also join our Patreon for bonus recordings, special deliveries, and the Mystery County Monster Hunters card game designed by our very own Alan Linick. Until next time, watch out for pride. Horrible, horrible pride.
Damn, Tyler was so happy when those vines came.
I was. You know what? I was so happy.
And I was about to burn a luck, too.
Yeah, and the only thing that sucks is because I didn't get to reveal that each vine is a hand.
Damn.
I knew it.
We knew it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course.
You're sick.
Yep.
Yeah, hand vines. Each vine has five little vines coming from it.
Yum, 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 yum.
Disgusting. Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, he loves palm trees. Sicko.
That's right.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice. That was good.
That is good. I like that.
That's funny, but it's my life, so.
Oh, no. No. Aaron, blink twice if you need help.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.